The Carter Report presents Project 86. You're a conservative, patriotic American. Do you see big changes coming to America?
Yes, indeed, I do. But when you say I'm a patriotic American, you're absolutely true. I became an American citizen about 20 years ago. But almost 86 years ago, I was born an Australian. And so I'm sort of a double identity. I am a proud American, and I'm also a proud Australian. And both people inside me seem to get along pretty well. Now, let me just talk to you about being a conservative, patriotic American. By this, I guess you mean that I believe in family values. That's absolutely true. I believe in old-fashioned Bible family values. I do. I believe in marriage. I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. How conservative is that in today's world, I ask you? I'm so old-fashioned, I believe in the flag. That's why I said to Beverly and David, we're going to bring in Old Glory, and we're going to put Old Glory up here beside me today. I believe in the flag. There are some countries where the people are ashamed of their flag. That means they must be ashamed of their country. But I believe in saluting the flag. I believe in patriotism. Don't you? I'm a conservative as far as the environment is concerned. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a real... Yes, I'm a real conservative. I don't like dirty water. I don't like dirty air. I like the beauty of nature, and I believe in conserving nature by the grace of God. I believe very much in the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights. I believe in freedom of speech, in freedom of religion. I would die for those things. I believe in freedom of the press. I believe in being the person that God wants me to be. And so I believe in the flag. But most importantly, I believe in God. And I believe in the Holy Bible. Now, before we start, before we go any further today, and I know I'm taking a bit of a while to get going, I wonder if you'd join me today in a prayer for the President of the United States and for the United States of America and for the people of the world. Almighty God, we come to you today in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray today that you will bless the President of the United States, that you will give him discernment and insight and an understanding of the will of God and the courage that comes from God to do the will of God. We pray that you will bless his family, bless Melania, bless his children. Bless the people of the United States and grant them freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, and freedom to be the people that you want them to be. And bless also our Father, our neighbors. Bless Mexico to the south, Canada to the north, and the people around the world. We pray today that you will bless us all and bless this meeting. And bless every person today who is watching the telecast. In Jesus' name. Yes, I do see big changes coming to America. I do. And this is not just my emotions. It's not some feeling I've got inside. It's because I've been studying the prophecies of the Bible for well nigh 70 years, since I was a boy. I've been studying the Gospels. I've been studying the great truths of justification by faith. I've been studying the great prophecies of the book of Revelation. And I'm going to turn now, with your cooperation, to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. And I want you to take a deep breath, and if possible, I want you to just follow the texts of the Bible that I'm going to read, because we're going to have some pretty strong, solid stuff here today. And this, some would say, is rather controversial. But by the grace of God, we want this to be a revelation from the throne of God to your heart and my heart today. Revelation 13, verse 1 says, "And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name." Now, the Bible prophecies tell us exactly the great movements of history. I'm basically an historicist. I believe you can see how the hand of God has been revealed in the history of the world. When you come to the book of Revelation, it describes a great beast power that comes up out of the sea. Now, every person who is a scholar, who reads the Bible prophecies, or just ordinary folks like you and me, we understand that in Bible prophecy, a beast represents a power or a kingdom. How do I know? It says so in Daniel chapter 7. "The beast which you saw is the fourth kingdom that shall come up out of the earth." And so in the scriptures, in the prophecies, you have an amazing revelation of the kingdoms of the earth. Now, this power is a power that persecutes the people of God and rules for 1260 years. Now, verse 5 says, let me see if I can find verse 5. Here it is. "The beast was given," now this kingdom, this power, not a real beast, he's symbolic. "The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. 42 months in the Bible represents 1260 years. You can read this in the prophecies of Daniel. You can read this in Revelation chapter 12 and in other parts of the Bible. The Bible says that this beast power will rule for 1260 days. And in the prophecies of the Bible, just as a beast is symbolic, so are the days. And these 1260 days represent 1260 years. And they describe the great time when the church state organization in Europe ruled for 1260 years. Many scholars believe that goes from 538 right through until 1798. And this time period, my friend, is called in the Holy Bible, it's called by the great scholars, the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages. Because the noonday of this great coalition of church and state, I say it again, this time period, the noonday of this power was the midnight of the world, because it was a time for great persecution. Now, let me give you a text on this, if you don't mind. I'm going to come to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7. You're saying to me, "This is pretty strong stuff." I know it is, but just hold on, would you please? Because today we are going to later on talk about America in Bible prophecy. Now it says, "He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation." And then it goes on to say that he will persecute the people of God for 42 months, the 1260 years, the Bible says he would persecute the saints of God. You can read this in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. You can read it in Revelation chapter 12. And we read it here, my friends, in Revelation chapter 13, that this beast power is a kingdom. It is a coalition of church and state. That is what we call today, wait for it, it's what we call today a theocracy. A theocracy. There are some people today who want to bring about a theocracy in America. But this power rules for 1260 years and he persecutes the saints of God. Who is this power? The great organization that ruled in the Dark Ages in Europe, the great coalition of the church with the state, and that brought about the bloody Inquisition. You say to me, we've never heard things like this before. My friend, this used to be bread and butter for the Pilgrim Fathers. That's why the Pilgrim Fathers came to America. I ask you, are you a patriotic American? You say, absolutely, I love the flag. America was founded by people who were getting away from this beast power, getting away from this theocracy. Are you listening to me? America was founded by people who wanted to set up a state without a king and a church without a pope. They wanted freedom, freedom to worship God.
What is meant by the beast with horns of a lamb? Does it describe an American theocracy?
There's one, many wonderful things about America. When I read the Bill of Rights, I fell in love with America. When I studied the Constitution, I came to admire America. You see, America, not like any other country in the world, America was birthed with a passion for freedom. We don't want to be like the Europeans. We don't want a state with a king. We don't want a church with a pope. We don't want an Inquisition. We want to breathe free. Let me read you from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The right to be the person I believe that God wants me to be. If you're an American, you can be proud to be an American. If you believe in these great truths. So here is the question. What is meant by the beast with the horns of a lamb? You ask that question. What is meant by the beast with the horns of a lamb? Does it describe an American theocracy? Well, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to turn again to the book of Revelation chapter 13, because the first beast is the church of the Dark Ages. The second beast, or the second nation, or power that is therein described represents a great power that stands for freedom. Are you with me? Are you following me today? Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. After this panorama of the Dark Ages, this happens. Verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Goodness me. What does it represent? Now listen very, 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 very carefully. My beloved friend, wherever you are listening to this telecast today, whether it's in the United States of America or in Australia or in Great Britain or even if you're in the Middle East or if you're in the Philippines where we have thousands and thousands and thousands of wonderful friends, let me give you some of the identification marks of the second power. When it says beast, it doesn't mean something derogatory. It simply in Bible prophecy means a power. This power arises not in the old world, but in the new world. The first beast comes up out of the sea, representing the peoples of the earth, the multitudes of the old world. But this is a new power and it comes up in the new world. It comes up after the first power. It is a power that arises late in the history of the world. It comes up after the 1260 days or 1260 years in the new world. It is a defender of the gospel. Because how is this power described? Is it described as a terrible, wicked monster? No. As the horns of a lamb. And every person knows, at least those who are familiar with the scriptures, a lamb is symbolic of Jesus Christ our Lord. This power arose to defend the gospel of Jesus. What a great power this must be. The prophecy, my friend, this power that comes up in the last days with the horns of a lamb, I tell you, in the fear of God, it points to the United States of America, a bastion of freedom. Let me read to you the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights. Now, many countries don't have a Bill of Rights. You know why they don't have a Bill of Rights? It's because they don't have any rights. But I was proud to become an American citizen. I have lived in the United States for 40 years, born an Australian, still have my Australian citizenship, but I became an American citizen. You know why? Because I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the American dream. I believe in the Bill of Rights. Has your country got a Bill of Rights, I ask you? Listen to the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, no state church, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You can worship however you wish. Or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So what does that say? It's very plain, my friend. It says no state church. In England, they have the Church of England. The king is the head of the church. But I would remind you, the only king of God's church is King Jesus. When I became an American citizen, I received a letter from the President of the United States. I was amazed and I was charmed. He wrote and said, "You have the right to think what you want to think. You have the right to believe what you want to believe." Oh, I said, "This is the country for me." "You have the right to worship God as you wish to worship God, or not to worship God. You have the right to be the person you want to be. Let freedom ring." So America was not raised up like any other country. It was raised up because people wanted to go to a sanctuary where they could worship God. I say, God bless America, because of what America stands for. You know, you've heard of Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving is the time when Americans get together to thank God for freedom. Now, some of my friends over on the extreme left, with their political correctness, have been campaigning against Thanksgiving. They say, "Don't call it Thanksgiving." Can you believe it? They say, "Call it Turkey Day." Well, I say, Turkey Day is for turkeys. But we believe in Thanksgiving. And we give thanks to God for all the blessings, for the blessings of America, and freedom of religion, freedom to preach the Word of God, freedom to be the person God wants you to be. While America is true to her Bill of Rights and her Constitution, God will bless her.
Does the Bible actually describe a theocracy, a union of church and state?
Actually, it does. Some of my friends have told me, "You've got to make this very, very plain, John. You're not always very plain." I say, I know. Just be patient with me. So let this old preacher try to make this plain. A theocracy is when the church and the government get into bed together. Theocracy, well, theos, that means God. Now people say, that would be the most wonderful thing in the history of the world if America became a theocracy. Did you know there are millions and millions of my brothers and my sisters in America and in the great Protestant churches and in the great Catholic Church, and they say, "We want America to become a theocracy, and we want Jesus to be the king over America, and for Congress to pass the laws, and for the president to sign those laws, and for those laws to be enforced." That then would be a theocracy. But let me take you now to a text in the Bible that talks about a theocracy. I'm going to turn over here to Revelation chapter 17. Ready to go? Here it goes. "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters.'" Now, in Bible prophecy, a prostitute represents the bad church. A good woman represents the good church. This is only in Bible prophecy. In Bible prophecy, there are two women, a bad woman and a good woman. The good woman is the true church. The bad woman is the apostate church. Here we go. Here's the prostitute. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery. And the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. She's got into bed with the kings of the earth. The Bible calls her a prostitute. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. That's the state. The woman is the church, and the woman is riding on the beast. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints of Jesus. That is the great Antichrist, a coalition of church and state, and I'll be back with more.
Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." John Carter reports, "We have seen God's power as the gospel of Christ has been proclaimed in Africa, India, Russia, Ukraine, Cuba, El Salvador, and many other places. We invite you to partner with us in proclaiming Jesus Christ."
To God be the glory. Great things He has done.
Write today to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. That's The Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. In Australia, write to The Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. That's The Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. Thank you for your generous support. We look forward to hearing from you soon. May God richly bless you.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.